welcome to my dojo. This is Drunken Fist Happy Hour, a special edition of Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I take that 30 minutes or less stipulation and I toss it out. I throw it to the side, and instead, I grab a drink, grab a friend, and we sit down and just let the conversation meander like Drunken Fist Kung Fu. Joining me here today, back with us again here in the dojo, is Joshua Knoll. Josh, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here and drink with you and pretend like I can see you.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of technical difficulties. The good news is, on my end, I can see and maneuver everything. And more importantly, it's a podcast. We can hear each other. Things are being recorded. Josh apparently is just talking into the abyss, and that kind of sucks for him.
Well, I feel like it makes it more like, Drunken Fist style. This is Drunken Fist style podcasting where I'm drinking and literally can't see anything. I'm just having to, like, you know, go with the flow, feel out what's happening, and trust the force. Yeah.
Trust the force. Why not? Throw Star Wars in there too. Why not?
Kung Fu Star Wars Drunken Power Hour.
You could use that one for systematic ecology. That sounds like something you all would have.
We might one day. Who knows? We might already, for all I know.
Pastor Will, you said alcohol and Star Wars in the same too long title. It's Pastor Will's all over that.
Released a new sorry, this is a little bit of a side tangent, but that's what this is for, right?
That's so what this is, yeah.
I released a new t-shirt on Systematic Ecology website, but I haven't advertised it yet, because I'm hoping no one will notice until Will gets his as a surprise. Because if you don't know, Will's taking the summer, he's on sabbatical, and he's not going to be on podcast either, he's just going to go travel and do stuff, and he wanted a Systematic Ecology backpack, and I was like, okay, well, we had some extra credits, so I was like, got that, and then I saw this. Had an idea for a new t-shirt design that was like summer themed. It was like surfing. So it has like a wave on the front with Systematic Ecology, and the back has like a surf scene, but with a TIE fighter up in the sky. It says geeks up instead of surfs up.
Perfect.
Yeah, I can't wait. Like, I just can't wait for Will to get this shirt.
Thanks for letting me know. Will. Thanks for letting me know, though, that Will's taking the summer off. Listeners, stop listening for a second. Josh and I are talking business. Thanks for letting me know that Will is taking the summer off, because I was planning on doing a very specific martial art movie that involves surfing. I guess calling it a martial art movie is a bit of a stretch, but there's a surfing movie I wanted to do with Will in the summer. So I at least need to get that recorded ahead of time, or just plan for it to come out at a weird date.
Yeah. I think he is doing some. He's just trying to mostly not do, you know?
Good.
I'm sure, any random Star Wars thing that happens, or, if Spider-Man is just, too good for him not to talk about it, I feel like he'll probably jump on, but...
That's true.
You know.
Josh, you were here on the show back in January. Anything new for you? We're giving life updates on Pastor Will. Anything new with you or with the network since January?
A lot. Me, it's mostly depressing stuff, I guess, because I'm dealing with a lot of health issues with my mother-in-law and preparing for stuff and, you know, prayer, all that kind of thing. I've also had this kind of, that's more of like a God moment. I'll say that for whole church, I guess. I was going to say, I've been having a spiritual journey, but it's not like anything super real. Been playing Mass Effect a lot lately. That's relevant. Okay. That has to be relevant. Mass Effect's awesome.
We are going to the arcade this year, so yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, I'm hyper fixating on this biz, man, and I love it.
Nice.
And then network wise, I think Paige and Pixel joined since then, which, you know, you mentioned on here a lot, and then we had Theology on the Rocks join the network recently, which is a show I already really love. So having it on the network is kind of pretty, it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
there might be a comedy podcast coming out soon.
A comedy
TJ
podcast
will be a part of.
TJ maybe. On a comedy podcast.
Somebody,
two guys talking, being funny, kind of comedy podcast.
So the details haven't been worked out, so I don't want to say so too much. The other host is like a really cool guy. I'm going to say that. He's really, like, he's awesome. And for some reason, him and TJ just have, like, a weird connection. And he had the idea of, like, what if we started interviewing important theologians, but doing it, like, I forget what kind of comedy they call that. But, like, the kind of interviews that are just acting serious, but are being very not serious. Oh, like, we're just going to get Trip Fuller on and be like, does John Cobb know you stole his socks? And just like deadpan about
it. Yeah. What's the one with Zach Galifianakis, Between Two Ferns? Like kind of something along those lines.
Yeah. They're taking inspiration from that. If it happens, you know, it's still, you know, everything's still up in the air. But like the idea of it is really funny. And it reminded me that I have Russell Moore's contact. And if we can convince him to
part
of that would be so funny. Like I can't imagine anything much funnier than that, actually.
Do I know who the other host is? Am I aware of this individual? Again, listeners, this isn't relevant.
He's not on the network
yet,
so
you can skip.
I'm unsure.
Okay, gotcha. Fair.
Yeah. Wait, we have a chat. I can cheat, and everybody else will hate that we did.
Everybody else. I'll monologue while Josh is doing that. So, in that episode back in January, you and I sat down to review the Tao of Jeet Kune Do by Bruce Lee. And one thing that came up, and the reason why I invited you on in the first place, is because you fall under the umbrella of a Christian Taoist. And today, we're going to get into that, because Taoism is a common spirituality. I'm trying to think through my words carefully here. Mm-hmm. Taoism is a common spirituality that does come up a lot in the martial arts. So that is relevant to us. And, you know, I do not try to make this show explicitly like a Christian podcast, because it would get so cheesy so quickly. I want to be creatively funny, not cheesy. But I am a Christian. We're on a Christian network. So this just seems like the right space and the right time to work some of this out. But before we do, shall we talk about our drinks? I forgot to do this last time on I had Joe on for a Drunken Fist happy hour, and we got all the way to the end of the episode before I was like, oh yeah, we never talked about our drinks. Funny. So I'm going to do, have you already opened yours?
Oh yeah. But I do want to, listeners, poll somewhere. I want to know, you guys think, since this is a Christian martial art podcast, I need someone's opinion. Is Jesus Christ's go-to move the flying sidekick, reverse tornado, like the crane kick? What is Jesus Christ's go-to kung fu move? That's what I want to know.
His go-to kung fu move.
Yeah, someone let me know.
I will throw one out there if we're doing professional wrestling. The crucifix powerbomb. It's in the name. He's doing the crucifix powerbomb. Kung fu move wise, yes. We'll get a poll going somewhere to find out what it should be.
I'll be super lame. I'm just going to go ahead and say now, if someone throws in anything ninjutsu, I'm going to lean towards that, because it's a lot of redirection and like locks and ways of rather than causing harm. It's a lot of ninjutsu, especially like when you first start, because that's all I got to do, is more of like, I can't think of what it's called. You're stopping the fight more than you are causing harm. You're putting people in a position they can't move. What's that called?
Like trapping people.
Yeah.
Trap is a word I'm familiar with that could describe what you're talking about.
That's kind of what, So like, I feel like that's more, that seems more Jesus style. Like, you might not necessarily be bashing their head in, but I bet he's got some good redirection moves.
It's not Krav Maga. I'm pretty confident it's not Krav Maga.
Probably not.
Which is funny because it's the national martial art of the Israeli military, but it's not Krav Maga.
Yeah, probably not.
Anyway.
You were talking about drinks.
I'm gonna get some ASMR in here. Let's see if it works. Ready? Did any of that come through?
Yeah, that was nice. I feel like I should have waited for mine.
No, you're good. So tell us a little bit about yours.
I wanted to get one of my favorite beers from Legal Remedy Brewing. They have a peanut butter porter and a pro bono vanilla stout. I love both of them. They're good dark beers. My wife likes one that's the mocha blonde stout, right? So I was going to go by the brewery and get like a mix six pack so I could have one, the peanut butter for this.
Mm-hmm.
They closed the brewery. They're brewing out of another brewery right now, apparently, which is kind of sad because that to me feels like the next step in just being closed.
True.
But Food Lion did still have the mocha blonde stout. So I just got a six pack of it. So I'm drinking the mocha blonde stout from, I think it's like World Court mocha blonde stout from Legal Remedy Brewing. Yeah. But I wanted peanut butter because it's just so much funnier. And also, I like the darker. The dark taste. Something with peanut butter is just good with a stout, you know?
Stout is... Josh and I both enjoy dark beers. This is something that we have in common. We have a lot of things in common. But this is definitely one of them. There's something about... I prefer stouts. I have a porter here, but I do prefer stouts. And, you know... Pastry stout is a whole style, so it does make sense that like to have like a dessert basically in your beer, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, like I feel like it's like because beer is just like you're drinking bread almost, so I'm like, yeah,
especially like a stout.
I prefer donuts and cakes over that hard bread they give you at Panera for some reason. That's my brain. It's like IPA is that hard bread you get at Panera. Like stouts are like a nice moist like rum cake or
sure
chocolate cake or something, you know. And I'm like, yeah, this is just better for me.
I follow you. I've seen this reel before. I may have seen it a couple different times where it's supposed to be a beer snob reviewing an IPA and he licks the bark of a tree and then takes a bite out of a grapefruit unpeeled. It's like still got the rind and the peel and everything on it. And he's, oh, so good. That's supposed to be someone reviewing an IPA. And it's accurate. It's totally accurate.
Sorry, Will.
Sorry, Joe.
What's funny, I had one either last year or the year before that I liked because it was like a tropical IPA. So it had a lot of citrus in it. And I think that made up for it.
I see
Sierra Nevada has Summerfest. That's an IPA. I think I'm going to try it. I'm going to give it a try. Hesitantly.
Yeah, if I do have an IPA and I end up enjoying it, it's usually some kind of like hazy with grapefruit, ironically, grapefruit in it. It has to have some kind of a flavor other than bitterness. My life is bitter enough. Yeah. I want cake in my beer.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because like it's like coffee. I am really strange. I can drink black coffee. It's not my favorite. I could drink it. I hate if you give me coffee with a little bit of creamer. I want my coffee to either taste like a dessert where like there's a ton of creamer and sugar and stuff in it, or I can drink it black. I don't want a little bit of creamer. Like, I don't, what's the point at that point? You know, like I kind of have the same way with my beer. I'm like, I either want it just strong to be what it is, I want it to be flavorful. I don't want that where, like, there's a hint here. No, I don't want hint of something. That's not me.
You know, it's funny you bring up coffee. I'm almost the exact opposite. I drink black coffee.
That is
funny. I prefer black coffee. If it's, like, the afternoon, a lot of it has to do with my stomach. If it's the afternoon, then I cannot... Or if it's, like, the morning, I cannot have... super sweet sugary coffee. I have to have black. In the afternoon, I can go to Starbucks and get a, you know, a nice caramel macchiato. I shouldn't because they're on good. Strike, but I but you know, I could get like a sweet coffee option. If I get an iced coffee, all I want is cream. All I want is coffee and cream.
Yeah. That's fair. That is fair. But yeah, with beer, I don't want it to be too bitter. Give me some flavor. Or if it's dark, it's like it's almost like it's a different kind of bitterness, so it's not as bad. I have a really hard time describing it, because I'm like, I get that a really dark stout is also bitter. It's just bitter in a different way. And then the really weird thing is I love sours.
Oh, I love like, sour I like beer.
There's no reason why I should despise IPAs as much as I do. But I do. you know.
You, me, and our good buddy Mark should all get together and do one with sour beers, because we all three like sour beer.
Yeah, that would be fun. That would be a lot of fun, actually.
So you have a brewery that's like all law related puns when it comes to their beers.
So great. It's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Peanut butter. I already said the one, didn't I? Pro Bono Vanilla, the World Court, whatever. Lawtoberfest. My favorite Oktoberfest beer. Like, it was just all the way down. There's always something. There's Law Dog Lager.
Nice.
They got some good ones. Yeah.
There is a brewery. So there's actually, it's a distillery. So there's a distillery about 20 minutes from me. And it's like on this big slot of property. You could do a tour of the distillery. There's an outside venue area. There's multiple restaurant options like in the distillery. Like you can order from, there's a steakhouse, there's a burger place, there's a pizza place. And they recently opened a small craft brewery called Sea of Monsters. And all of their beers are either mythical monsters or cryptids or things like that. If the gang ever comes up here by me, it's on my list of places I'd like to take you all.
I need to. Unfortunately, flights are impossible because I keep him like, oh, this year might be the year I go somewhere. And then I'm like, oh, well, I guess it's not. Thanks, Trump.
Not this year.
But anyway, I was talking about this when we had Leah and Chrissy on Whole Church recently. Mm. You know, the All General Rocks Whole Church crossover, and we were talking about this. And I felt the need to like double down on like, yeah, see, I like really dark beers, and that sounds manly. But what you gotta understand is, if I'm not drinking a dark beer, I'm drinking one of those like fruity drinks with like a little umbrella or something like.
There we go.
Like, it's not like, it's not like I'm trying to be like masculine. It's just, I like what I like.
Yeah. No, I get that.
It has nothing to do with that. Cause like my first drink I actually ordered somewhere when I turned 21 was when I first started watching Scrubs. So it was an Apple Teeny, easy on the Teeny, please.
Dude,
it was great.
I have never had a martini. Do not care to have one. I will have a dessert martini, any option. I love espresso martinis. I've had a banana split martini before. Like, if it's silly and fun, then I'm interested. If it's just gin and olives, get that thing away from me.
Yeah, that sounds awful. Like Apple Teeny, just because of like the show. But then like, it actually, it's, well, they don't have it anymore. Crystal Light used to have a Apple Teeny mix, like it was non-alcoholic, you should just put in your water bottle, and it actually was so good. And I'm like, you know,
nice
green apple in drink form is just, that's a good idea.
Oh yeah, you know, Cooper's at the age, producer Cooper's at the age now where we're drinking Kool-Aid in the house, and I usually try to get, they have
Kool-Aid,
a
so bad.
They have a good green apple.
Really?
Yeah, they have a good green apple.
I'm gonna try it.
And obviously with Kool-Aid, you know, black cherry is like the goat.
Well, and yeah, the red, the classic fruit punch one. It's just,
yeah.
Or the blue, the tropical punch, whatever, the blue
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's a good
that
one.
That one's pretty good, yeah.
Claire grew up. We will talk about other things at some point. I haven't even told you about my beer yet. Claire grew up drinking, there was apparently at one point in time, a Kool-Aid, I have no recollection of this, called Purplesaurus Rex. And it was grape lemonade. So now if you want to make it, you just get one lemonade and one grape and mix them. But yeah, this was apparently a thing. I don't remember Purplesaurus Rex.
Yeah, I'm deeply offended that I have no recollection of that. Because I feel like I should. I would have had that all the time.
Sounds good. I've made it at home. It's kind of a fun addition to the, you know, summertime lemonade mix.
Yeah. Well, there's some drinks that like the name makes it better. Like you already like it, but you like it more because of the name, you know, like it enhances it. And I think, honestly, do think that's peanut butter beer for me is like, I do love that beer. There are plenty of other peanut butter beers I probably like just as much, but the name.
Oh yeah.
Makes it a little bit better than those other beers.
So speaking of peanut butter beer, I am drinking a peanut butter chocolate porter. This is the third Drunken Fist happy hour, and I usually try, I've been trying to make a habit of picking a drink that correlates to what we're going to talk about. And so since we are going to be talking about religion, this is, you don't have your camera's not working. This is called Sweet Baby Jesus by Dewclaw. I think it's the brewery. Yeah, I've never had this one before, but it's pretty common in my area. Do you get this one in your area?
I don't think I've seen that one. It's by what? Who?
Dewclaw, D-U-C-L-A-W. It's called Sweet Baby Jesus.
I put it in.
All of their beers are sweet baby something. I don't think they're all Sweet Baby Jesus. I think there's like Sweet Baby Java is one of them, and it might be like a blonde coffee something. It's good though. I've never had it before. It is pretty good. Sometimes porters are a little dry for me, but this has been pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the porter. I got up this thing, but it won't let me open the maps part to see if there's one near me. Because I'm on this. But I'll look it up afterwards because I'm curious. I like peanut butter and I like chocolate. So
yeah.
You know, chocolate porter sounds good.
Yeah. It is good.
With that, I think we've talked. You know, this is why I like doing these, because we would only have 9 minutes to do the actual episode now. See, that's why we do a little Drunken Fist happy hour every once in a while, listeners. If you've hung in there for 20 minutes, I guess we should start talking about Christian Taoism. So to me, I'm leaning into my seminary life side here. To me, one of the best places to start with this is defining terms a little bit. So just very simply, Josh, in your own words, what is Christianity?
Well, it's the following of Jesus in adherence to the Nicene and Apostle creeds, I think, is probably what I would say. It doesn't have to be like the adherence as in like you quote it all the time and you're like 1,000% agree with it all the time. But to me, it's just like if we can agree on at least a majority of the things in those two creeds, cool, that's Christianity, we'll roll with that. After that, I tend to be pretty loose because I've done Church Unity podcast for an extremely long time, and now I'm like, yeah, what it means to be Christian is actually really hard to narrow down when I look at the history of what all these people who I definitely am like, yeah, Augustine, definitely Christian, or Origen, definitely Christian, Martin Luther, definitely Christian, you know. Even Aquinas, as much I don't like him, definitely counts as Christian. And then when I'm like, what did they disagree and agree on that we think is so important to Christianity today? And I'm like, well, yeah, a lot of the stuff that I at one point would have been like, you have to believe this, and that's what it means to be Christian. I'm like, well, man, maybe that's not as true as I thought it was. So, you know, believe in God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, Holy Spirit, guiding the church. That we're all supposed to be one, that we are one in the sense that we believe that we are able to be made whole through Jesus, whether because you think he died for your sins or that he defeated sin in the grave whenever he rose from the dead, whatever. Some variation of believing in Jesus, trying to follow his ways, and acknowledging that what Jesus did in some way has achieved a salvation that allows us to flourish and have wholeness making today, should we choose to believe in him, confess with our mouths that we sin and are in need of him.
Nice. This is not a theology pop quiz, so I'm not going to like, well, what about this verse and what about that verse? Because like part of this is also very much your spiritual journey. And that's part of the point of this episode here today is to hear your spiritual journey into this. I do find it interesting, if you don't mind fleshing this part out. I do find it interesting. So obviously, Jesus at the center, the chief cornerstone or whatever biblical allusion you want. I do find it interesting, and I don't disagree. I do find it interesting that your guardrails are the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, where I feel like most people would say the Bible. is there a reason why you're choosing the creeds versus scripture? And let me just be clear. I'm not trying to imply that, like, you don't care about the Bible. I know you care about the Bible. I know we have differing views on the Bible, but I'm just curious why the creeds versus the Bible.
I'm trying to find a way to word this carefully. The Bible, the type of literature the Bible tends to be, you know, it's a variation of types of literature. I don't think it's meant to be cohesive or coherent. And I think that's evidenced when you look at all the different churches interpreting the Bible all these different ways, and some of the absolute wild theories and stuff that people have come up with. They're like, well, I read the Bible and this one verse makes me think that I am the dragon. And you're like, what? And like, they maybe can spin it in a way where you're looking, you're like, oh, maybe they're right. Maybe they are the dragon. And that's like the important part. Like, whereas I think the creeds are acknowledging the Bible as true and are saying very plainly, here is what we believe, given the Bible. Like, the creeds are taking the Bible as their source in the first place. It's just creeds, unlike the Bible, aren't trying to be ambiguous or give you room to think or like wrestle with your spirit. They're saying, this is what we believe. And it's a lot. I don't know. I feel like it's more straightforward. And that makes sense. Also, what we think of the Bible, what the early church thought of this, the Bible, what the Orthodox church thinks of the Bible, what the Catholics think of the Bible, and you get some differences.
By the way, you're probably going to be hearing producer Cooper singing in the background because it was in the Mario Bros. Movie when Bowser sings Peaches. So he's the producer. He knows what he's doing.
Participating in the drunken part of Drunken Happy.
No. No.
Just clarify. You know, the listeners might not know.
Yeah. No, he's not. He had a Capri Sun ahead of time, which I feel like is, you know, for them.
Went straight to his head.
Yep. I understand where you're coming from with choosing the creeds over scripture, because I do agree. I think this is me continuing to pay penance for the fact that I used to be Reformed. There is definitely an idolatry towards scripture, and not only an idolatry, but also, like, to me, when we say, you know, some churches will be like, we don't have a doctrinal statement because we believe the Bible. Well, that's far more complicated than you're trying to make it sound. Because like you just said, the Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic, and Orthodox, and all the other denominations all believe the Bible. They just interpret it differently. The creeds are nice because their purpose is to be guardrails. Their purpose is to synthesize elements of scripture down to, okay, this is what we believe. And so, yes, I agree with you that that is probably a good way to define Christianity versus we believe Jesus and we believe the Bible. It's a very American answer, I feel.
I agree. I do want a little bit of clarification. If I had to choose one, like I only got to keep one, I'm keeping the Bible. Like, I love the Bible above all else.
Oh,
I
sure, do. Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. But, like, I'm going to read part of the Nicene Creed for the listeners here to kind of, like, give kind of a, this is, like, why I think both the creeds do this in very various ways, but, like, just as an example of what we're talking about, right? So the Nicene Creed, it says, talking about Jesus, is that he came down for us, right? And it says, for us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. One second.
Okay. Take your time.
So, drink beer too fast. I had a burp and I don't want to do that on a podcast. I'm sorry, guys. When, you know, thinking about the Nicene Creed, I love it. It's moving. It keeps us from a lot of mistakes. You can't read this and go, okay, well, Jesus was actually just a human. It very clearly says, nope. Whereas you could take parts of the Bible. You could read just like the book of John, or, well, you know, I think John's the one. And you'd be like, oh, well, maybe he was just spirit. Or you could read Mark and think, oh, maybe he was just man. Like, it's possible to do that if you're isolating parts of scripture. It's not possible to do that here. He makes it very clear. He was man. He came from the spirit. He is God. He makes it very clear that this is, what is it, in accordance with scriptures. It makes it clear that we are following the scripture in this. And at the same time, it's making clear that the death, resurrection, and ascension are all important, but it never says which part is what causes salvation. You can still go to various different atonement theories and fall within this Nicene Creed. So it acknowledges all the important things, keeps us from getting off the rails, but still leaves enough wiggle room for us to have all these different variations without completely getting off the rails, you know?
That makes sense. No, that makes sense. And for the listeners at home who may not be of any kind of Christian background, important fact for you to know about the Council of Nicaea when this creed was written hundreds of years ago is that's when St. Nicholas slapped a heretic. Santa Claus slapped a dude for saying that, like...
Allegedly.
Allegedly. It's canon. It's headcanon, though. But just a little fun fact for you. Stuff that we should talk more about in church history. So Christianity is the following of Jesus, a belief and following in Jesus, his teachings, with the Nicene and Apostles' Creed serving as guardrails along the way. Yes?
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like that.
Okay.
And even with that, I'm like, I'm flexible. I think I'm completely on board with them. But when I hear someone say, oh, well, I don't agree with the Nicene Creed, yeah, I still listen. Because like a lot of the times when I've heard someone say that, they'll be like, well, it says that God's a father and it's trying to act like he's just male. And the Bible also says he's a woman. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. That's not the point. I see where you're coming from, though. So it's not worth arguing with somebody. But, you know, I think if we take what the creeds are actually saying, I think they're good guardrails. But also if I hear someone say, oh, I don't believe in that, I'm going to ask some questions. I'm not going to immediately write them off, you know?
Yeah, no, I understand that. So with that in mind, so that's our Christianity. We have our Christian definition now. So let's move into Taoism then. So what is Taoism?
I'm not sure. It's possible to define it. If you go through the Tao Te Ching, which is like the book that most people are like, oh, that's the Taoist book, but they don't really have a Bible as such. But it's Lao Tzu. Some of his teachings are compiled into a book called the Tao Te Ching. And a lot of the times when he talks about the Tao or the way, the force, whatever, he doesn't say here's what it is, but he kind of just gives an example. It's like, if you do this and you're following this way, when you live in harmony with nature that way, this is the Tao. But then I'll say something else. And it's kind of like there isn't quite words to clearly define it. So that's hard to like talk about on a podcast. I will say
fair.
My best attempt is it's this idea of realizing things are good. Things are good. If we learn to be our true selves and live in harmony with the rest of things. And when we learn to live in harmony with all things, we find the way. I think that would kind of be a good way of paraphrasing it.
Okay.
It's hard to say philosophy, religion, spirituality, all that stuff, because like, I think how we Westerners define religion, it probably is a religion, but a lot of Eastern thought doesn't really have religion like that. Like Japan is like a crazy percent will say they're atheist. And then also the same, a similar crazy percent all say that they stop, at least worship a god at one of the altars, Shinto altars, once a week or something. And they're like, wait, but you said you were atheist. Like, oh yeah, no, I mean, I don't have a religion, but you know, you got to stop and say hi to this god when you see him. And it's like, it's a difference of like sure. way of life and it just being common, as opposed to like, I'm following a religion. And like, Eastern people tend to be different than Western people in that way. So it's hard, I think, for Western thinkers to even imagine what the kind of spirituality they experience and participate in Eastern practices really are. So I think probably for me, I probably am treating Taoism more like a religion than how someone in China probably would. But, you know, I do my best. It's just hard being a Western person.
It is hard being a Western person. I'm glad you jumped right into the, is it a religion, a philosophy, a spirituality question? Because that was something I was going to ask you. Because from, I have not spent near as much time as you have with Taoism. But like I said, it does come up within the martial arts. So I've engaged with it probably more surface level than you have. And my experience with it has been way more of like, oh, this seems more philosophy than it does religion. Just with my engagement of it, where it's more of like a, you're, it is a way of thinking that influences how you engage versus like the worship of something. I could be wrong about that, though.
Yeah, like there's not really a thing that you're worshiping. Yeah, it's and I've talked about this like 100 times, but the thing that really pulled me in is there's this painting of Lao Tzu, Siddhartha, the Buddha, and Confucius, right? And they're sitting around a vat of vinegar, and the Buddha is drinking of it, making his like, oh, that's bitter face because they're drinking vinegar. And you know, the whole Buddhism thing is all life is bitter, like everything's bitter, everything's suffering. That's kind of like the Buddhist thing. And then how do you deal with said suffering? Confucius is tasting and like contemplating, like, how can I use this and make it better, or, you know, whatever. Because Confucianism is all about kind of structure, finding a way to organize things and make things different. Whereas Lao Tzu is smiling ear to ear because, man, this vinegar tastes like vinegar. And that's great.
It's like an acceptance of what something, it's like the acceptance of what something is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when I then, maybe I'm jumping the gun, for like Taoist Christianity or Christian Taoism, for me, it's almost like taking the doctrine of Imago Dei, or the doctrine of like how God created everything good. If there is a good God and he made all things, it's just kind of believing that, like, well, then all things must at their core be good. Sure, we probably mucked it up along the way, but I think if we find that harmony, things were created good. Like, God didn't make wasps to be these evil things that we're all supposed to hate, right? Like, he didn't make me to be a wretched person who talks about how wretched I am all the time.
Sure.
So I think finding salvation, finding Jesus, to me, would allow me to then better find a way to live in harmony with these things and seeing things as good for what they are. I actually don't like vinegar in food.
Like, sure. Yeah.
I'm not going to be upset that vinegar tastes like vinegar. Like, that's what it's supposed to taste like.
No, that makes sense. Yeah. I remember us talking a little bit about the vinegar illustration when we were going through the Tao of Jeet Kune Do. And like, I definitely get it of this idea of like accepting something for what it is and being maybe not celebrating it, but being happy that it is what it's supposed to be.
Since we've talked shop a lot, I can give a systematic ecology example here.
Okay.
And we're going through another one of these right now, actually. So when we talk about Taoism, I talk a lot about the Te, and that is like the truest me, which will be the me that's most at harmony with all things. I will also argue the one that's most with Jesus will be my Te, right? For me, who I am, I like structure. Because I'm ADHD and I have a really hard time doing things, I like overcompensate, and I'm like, we're gonna have 500 Google documents and everything's gonna be super detailed, and here's exactly how the next year is gonna go. Because I have to overcompensate. I'm super ADHD.
I've worked with Josh for a while.
Yes.
Now. Yep. He asked me for an outline for this episode, and I was like, that's fundamentally against what we're supposed to be doing, but okay.
So, co-host Will Rose, my pastor, I love him, is not like that. He's a surfer. Imagine just surfer guy that who's also a pastor, and I feel like you get Will.
Yeah.
So one of the things that came out of systematic ecology is like, I'm super structured. Like, here's the next month or whatever, and then like some movie or something will come out, and was like, we have to talk about this now. And I'm like, okay, well, the next 2 months are booked. We already know what we're recording. So maybe in like 3 months, we'll talk about that. Will's like, but we need to talk about it. Like, right, like this is what everybody's talking about. And of course, Will was right. But me, I'm like, but this is what my structure is. And instead of compromising myself or Will or anything like that, I'm like, okay, how do I stay true to me and true to Will? So we incorporated in the schedule, what's news episode? We're going to talk about the things that are new. which allows us to talk about those new things that are important, like, because Will was right,
mm-hmm.
but still allows me to be true to myself and have that schedule for the next year so I can overcompensate for my ADHD, you know?
Right, because it's not necessarily yeah. like, a, you know, in this very specific scenario, just to carry yeah. on, like, you're not... You're not a control freak who, you know, it's like it's my way or the highway kind of thing. This helps you be a functioning person. Having structure helps you engage. That's why when you were like, is there an outline? I at least gave you these questions, the main questions ahead of time, because I know that helps you. And I want you to, you know, I think in Christianity, we like using the word flourish right now. Like, I want you to flourish and or be yeah. your authentic true self, as, you know, it would maybe be better to say in this context. So, and yeah well, Will is the most surfer pastor you could ever meet. If there was a surfer pastor, it's him.
I love him so much. But yeah, so I'm just going to keep going with this metaphor, right? So, like, I think a lot of our Western religions, what they would probably instruct in scenarios like that is, well, I need to learn to die to myself and submit to Will and follow his way. And then, you know what? I probably would have had a little bit of resentment towards him because I'm like, oh, well, now I can't have my outlines. I can't have a schedule and I need this to be able to, you know, and or we'd say, well, this is, you know, I'm running the show, so Will needs to submit to me or something like that. And it's like, okay, well, then maybe he'd have resentment because we're not talking about the things he wanted to talk about. And I think it would cause more problems than I think this, what I would consider a Taoist solution of saying, okay, this is who we both are. Both of those things are good. How do we create something that allows us both to be who we are and work together? And I don't think it goes contrary to Christianity. It's just usually when you hear Western thought, it's one person has to submit or there's a hierarchy or something like that.
Sure.
And more of your Taoist thought is, no, we're going to see everything is valid and try our best. And it's not always possible to find a way that everyone's able to be their true self while we work in harmony in some way. This is the way.
Go this is the way.
Yeah.
That movie looks great. So
yeah.
On this side, before we summarize and move on, have you spent very much time studying Zen? Because I've recently dipped my toe into the world of Zen. Recently here on the show, I did a review of Zen and the Martial Arts by Joe Hyams or Hams. I don't know how to say it. It kind of looks like both. I don't want to say Hams, though, because that seems wrong. Anyway, and it's a very brief introduction to Zen, but it does sound very similar. Zen comes from a Buddhist perspective, a Buddhist religion viewpoint, but it sounds a lot like what you're describing here with Tao and Te, of the purpose is to live authentically and in harmony with things around you. And there was something else you said. I was like, oh yeah, that also reminds me of the Zen stuff. I can't think of what it was now, but there's aspects of Zen that seems to correlate here. And in my Western thinking, all of this stuff talking about being our authentic true selves, living in harmony with things around us, that's spiritual formation, that's sanctification, that's reconciliation, that's all of our big Bible words. So to me, like, maybe there's differing takes on all of this, but it's almost like maybe Eastern thought kind of all correlates to each other a little bit more than here in the West, where we more often than not intellectualize faith and spirituality versus living and pursuing a spiritual end goal.
Yeah. So I don't know a ton about Zen. So a little bit I'll be talking about out of my ass a little bit, but I think Zen,
that's all Buddhism, that podcasting is people talking out of their ass. That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fine. But the Zen with Buddhism, Wu Wei with Taoism, and then like spiritual formation with Christianity, I think do have a lot of similarities. You know, there's differences. One thing that I've learned, Eastern philosophers, theologians, etc., tend to be a lot better at incorporating other spirituality into their practices without, you know, being afraid of, you know, oh, I'm so scared someone's going to become Buddhist or whatever. As a lot of Western thoughts are, oh no, they're worshiping the Buddha, which just isn't even what Buddhism is, but it's fine. So like, it's a little bit complicated because like in ETH, they'll be like, okay, yeah, I'm finding my Zen by doing this Taoist practice. And that's what Confucius would want. And you're like, huh? Like, it feels like one of those like memes of you combining a bunch of like nerd references that are obviously wrong together just to like rage bait someone, except for they're being completely serious and it's fine. So like a little bit, it feels like that when you're like, huh?
Nice.
But so Wu Wei, the best I can understand with Taoism, it's effortless action. So it's not just going with whatever happens, but like, if I'm trying to find my truest self, what is the thing that causing me to go against my own nature the least kind of deal? So not just going to go in with the flow and, oh, well, we want to do this, well, we'll just do that. It's more of a, okay, well, this is both of our nature. What is it that can cause us both to not feel like we're going against who we were meant to be kind of deal? I think Zen, it'd be, well, actually, so on Be Living Water, I'm doing some examples going through the Book of Daniel and the Book of Les Miserables. And I even mentioned Wu Wei when talking about Bishop Muriel, because like, because trying to find a way to explain it to people so it doesn't sound like you're just going with the flow. Bishop Muriel, he sees the situation where there's people who need homes. This terrible situation happens where he's at. And he goes, wait a minute, I have a home. We'll just let him stay there. I could stay somewhere else. So obviously he's not just going with the flow, because like, he's giving up of his self. He's denying himself to help others. But because he is so in tuned with Christ, that is the most effortless action for him. It's to say, well, here's a problem and an easy solution. Let's just do that. So for him, that is Wu Wei. Whereas for someone who I think maybe hasn't spent as much time with Christ and with prayer and that kind of stuff, that probably wouldn't be effortless action to give up your home to other people. So you know, you see a little bit of yin yang with that, if you will. What I've read with Zen is more of a getting emptying your mind, which is also a big thing in Taoism, but of like getting past your intellectual thoughts and your anxieties and stuff and just kind of finding peace. So I think it's more of like a thing achieved through meditation rather than like a type of action like Wu Wei is. But again, like, they're incredibly similar. I think there's just a little bit of a nuance difference. And then like spiritual formation for Christians, I think like it is like a, hey, we're going to do these things because that's going to allow us to be more in the spirit. And it's a lot more structured and a lot more, you know, methodical a lot of the times with spiritual formation. But the end goal is still to kind of have that peace. So I think the end goals are all pretty similar.
As you were going, I remembered what the other thing I forgot about Zen that was like, oh, this kind of... This is the other thing that kind of reminds me of Taoism is the book that I was reading. They never give like an actual textbook definition. This is what Zen is, rather than this is what it looks like. And that seems to be a lot of what Taoism is like as well. You know, you started off by saying you can't really define it, but this is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's where Christianity is actually pretty weird, right? Because like, if you go to Jesus, you're just like, if we had the Tao Te Ching of Jesus, like it was just Jesus's sayings, it would feel a lot like that. Cause a lot of his teachings were, the kingdom of heaven is like a seed. And I quite don't, I want a definition. That's my
true.
Dude.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not to like, Paul and some of these who have been practicing in Western philosophy and, you know, Greek philosophy come along that kind of put that structure to it and help us define it a little bit better. So we have like a weird mix in Christianity because of, the location of when it kind of came to be, which, you know, if you believe in God the way that I do, you're like, well, yeah, totally makes sense. God chose a really specific place and time to create, to allow this form of spirituality to take root and be what it is. Like, that's what God wanted. But like, it is really unique because Jesus' teachings do not define it. Like, he's just like, yeah,
that is true. Fine. Especially when you do those, the kingdom of God teachings, like the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, or when he talks about people receiving the gospel, he doesn't, you know, it's when you believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess with your mouth. No, it's a seed planted in stony ground. It's a seed planted on fertile ground. It's a seed planted where there's a lot of weeds and there's like metaphor and illustration going on versus Paul, who systematizes it for us in particularly the Book of Romans, but all over the place in his letters.
Yeah, yeah. I did have, if it's a good time to transition, I had a thought of some of the big differences with Christianity and Taoism to me.
Okay.
That actually can be illustrated, I think, in martial arts.
Okay,
because I've been thinking about this. Because I'm not sure, like, I joked earlier, like, what would Jesus' kung fu style be? But, like, I'm actually just not sure. Because, like, Christianity largely feels like it's just, nope, no violence. We don't do that.
I think a lot of that as, well, we both are Christians who have done martial arts. But to me, a lot of that comes to the turn the other cheek. It depends on just how literal and how far you're willing to take that.
Yeah, like even Jesus' disciples pick up swords just so he can tell them not to use it. And you're like, I don't know, man. I think that felt pretty intentional. Like he was trying to tell us something later on. You know, it's like the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. This is a tool we'll use for later.
Yes, that is an interesting way to parallel it.
I can't wait for that episode of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse when Mickey has Donald and Goofy pick up some swords. He goes, we'll use this tool later. And then later when it's like clearly the time to use it, Mickey goes, just kidding. Put those down.
Put those down. Put those away, fellas. Hot dog.
Well, like, yeah. Hot diggity dog. But that was that like true to yourself thing. Like sometimes, you know, fighting makes sense. And I think Christianity has figured that out along the way. And we still struggle with that because it's not really part of the roots of our religion. The thing with Taoism that's really, I think, why it's so integrated in a lot of martial arts is that the ideology of it, of like being true to yourself, is really, really helpful in martial arts. Like if even if you're like not actually trying to harm somebody, for me, and I don't want to use Brandon as an example, my friend DJ, he's much shorter than me. If we are to fight, man, it is. It would behoove me to use a lot of kicks.
It would behoove you, Ted Mosby, to be a kicker. Yeah.
No one would be like, I'm not getting reached that way. Like, and that's me staying true to who I am, fighting with the body that I have, not trying to act like I have some other body because, man, ninjutsu looks cooler or this looks better or I have more fun with wrestling. Nope. I got that reach on him. I should be kicking. You know? Like,
use your reach.
Ideology of Taoism is really helpful in stuff like martial arts. Whereas Christianity is like turn the other cheek. Like I don't know if Christianity has anything to contribute to martial arts, unfortunately. I am a Christian. Like I'm not trying to say it's never helpful. I'm just like, I don't think it has anything specific for martial arts. But I'm unsure.
This is gonna be a topic for another day for here on the show, but there is a very interesting world out there of fundamentalist views on the martial arts. And it is a whole topic that I want to cover at some point, but if you, listener, if you want to get a little bit of an insight, like you don't know some of the Christian perspective on martial arts, McDojo Life does post reels, or seriously, just Google martial arts are demonic, and you will find what is actually a very interesting, very anti-martial art world within a very specific Christian framework. I want to be clear about that, which is a whole topic I want to cover later on here on the show. But it's, yes, there is not a martial art directly correlated to scripture. You can, you know, Paul uses metaphors of like boxing and wrestling, but that's not like an endorsement. That is just him using metaphors that people would be familiar with. As opposed to Taoism, full circle moment for us, Drunken Fist Kung Fu is associated with Taoist temples. You know, there was a Taoist sect and a Buddhist sect. I probably shouldn't use the word sect. That's my Westerner talking. But they both practiced Drunken Fist Kung Fu. The actual, how historical and real Drunken Fist Kung Fu was is kind of left to history a little bit, because a lot of martial art history is an interesting combination of history, myth, folklore, just all muddled together so much that it's hard to separate them at this point. Be that as it may, yes, I would agree that. What am I agreeing with? Yes, I do agree that Taoism, in this sense, Taoism is going to have a very different perspective than Christianity is going to have, where some people in Christianity have a very anti-martial art mentality, but they'll let you own as many guns as you possibly want, while
funny.
Others have like almost a neutral no perspective whatsoever on martial arts.
Yeah. Well, to be true to myself, truest self here, Brandon.
Yes.
I also want to tell everyone how Taoism and Christianity can help me play Kingdom Hearts better.
Go ahead. Yes.
It's drunken happy hour. I feel like it fits. It's fine.
Josh loves, if you haven't listened to Systematic Ecology, Kingdom Hearts is your favorite, right? That's your favorite video game.
Hands down. My favorite anything.
Your favorite anything. So, yes, enlighten us.
So, and this probably works for other games too, but like, I actually think this is like a somewhat decent metaphor. What Christianity has taught me, and again, you should not be doing these kind of things just because they benefit you, but it should be actually because you think it is truly important. But Christianity has taught me, when I'm playing the game, unlike the thousands of other people on Facebook and Instagram who are like, why doesn't Donald ever use heal? I realized it's important for me to heal Donald and Goofy. Even though it's going to use all of my magic and make me more vulnerable, I'm keeping my teammates alive. I am going to deny myself to help them. That is what Christianity has taught me playing Kingdom Hearts. What Taoism has taught me is, when I go to settings, I'm going to keep Donald Duck close because he fights better close to me. And I'm going to have Goofy on relentless attack because if he can just go after somebody, he's going to win that fight. Just let him go do his thing.
That's interesting. You would think Donald would be that person. Just personality-wise, I would think Donald would be like, go.
Well, it's because he's magic type, so he's using like thunder and fire and all this, but he dies so much quicker.
Okay. Like,
so quick. He has
Goofy
no
would have a pretty
Goofy
high
has all the health.
Yeah, that makes sense. Goofy's always getting hurt. That makes sense.
Yeah. And he just like slides on his shield, it falls into an enemy, and then they fall down. And it's like, you know what? Go do your chaos. I believe in you, Goofy. Donald, you stay close to me.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. When you put it that way, that makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like knowing your team. Changing the setting to like, hey, you're structuring what you do to fit who people are rather than expecting them to fit your structure. Change your structure to fit them. But then also, Christianity's going to say, hey, take the time. Deny yourself. Yeah, you might want to cast fire 12 times on the enemy because that might be fun. But man, if Donald and Goofy are about to die, I'm going to use the rest of my magic. And I'm going to cast heal.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's almost like we need more Christians in America casting heal instead of.
I thought you were going to say we need more Christians playing Kingdom Hearts, and I was going to say, hell yeah.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, that too. We probably need more of that. It seems to have helped you. So, I'm curious. These are more like curiosities rather than just like literal definitions. So, would it be for you Christian Taoist or Taoist Christian? Or does it matter? I feel like it doesn't.
Yeah, I don't think it matters. I started saying, at first I was saying Christian Taoist because I think it sounds better. But then I'm like, well, that sounds like I'm using Christianity as the adjective, but I'm actually a Taoist. So then like I overthought it and I was like, well, now I'm going to start saying Taoist Christian because I want to make clear that like I am a Christian first and the other thing's the adjective. But really, like, I don't think it matters.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
As we're going along, there's like some questions and I'm like, you know what? I think in the spirit of Taoism, I don't need to ask it. You know, like there are just certain things that like, go with the flow for sure. I wouldn't necessarily consider myself a Taoist, but there are aspects of it that like it just makes sense. As you talked about earlier, like, you know, when it comes to your faith and your religion and your spirituality and your philosophy, we'll just throw all the words out there. Like, it shouldn't be just for you, but it should also like make sense to who you are. That's why, you know, still to this day, I consider myself an existentialist, because existentialist thought makes sense with how I perceive the world around me. It always has.
Yeah. It is actually really funny because I'm a Lutheran and a Taoist, right? So
that shouldn't work.
Yeah. Well, I think the funniest part of it, really, that I want to get to, I think Lao Tzu, I don't think he set out to start a religion. I think if he was around, he'd be like, yeah, no, like the stuff that I said that's not useful to you, just don't do it. And the stuff that I say that is useful, yeah, sure, use that however you want. Don't call yourself a Taoist. Just listen to what's helpful for you.
Gotcha.
And I think it's really funny because Martin Luther absolutely is the same. He did not want a church called the Lutheran Church. He was like, yeah, well, I think the things I said were important. I want you guys to like learn from it. And I was fallible. There's some stuff I said was probably wrong. Don't call it the Lutheran Church. So now we're part of the Lutheran Church. And now I'm a Lutheran Taoist, knowing that Martin Luther and Lao Tzu both did not want me to be calling myself either of those things.
Not probably, Martin.
Yeah.
You're anti-Semitic. Not probably.
Yeah, that part was bad. That was bad.
That part's bad. Yeah. Sorry, very Lutherans.
Extra bad.
Extra bad. Extra badness. This is your badness level. It's extremely high for someone your size. Anyway, but no, I totally get that. And I kind of covet, not that I necessarily want people to name a religious movement after me, that I don't want either. But I kind of covet like somebody who doesn't have to work with labels. Because there is this part of me that like, I don't care. There is a term I would like to use to describe myself as a Christian. There's several terms I would like to use to describe myself as a Christian that they either mean something else or I'm just not comfortable being public about it. Sorry, that's not something you're supposed to say on podcasts. You're supposed to say everything. But there's this avenue where like I do wish I had a theological camp that I could say, a label that I could say, but these are my people. I don't have that. I don't, you know, to me, it is so much of that Taoist thinking of like, take what is good and discard the rest, you know, very Bruce Lee, like take what works for you and discard the rest. And with that, I will say I am primarily talking about Christian theology, though there are some other pieces that do come into play here. But I'm talking about like, Brandon, are you a Lutheran, a Methodist, an Anglican? I don't know. Like,
yeah,
ask me tomorrow. It will probably be a different answer.
I mean, it took me a long time because I grew up in a tradition that prioritized the sermon, the theology, the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I don't agree with all that. And then I looked at all the other ones and I'm studying. I'm like, okay, I'll just go to the one that I agree with. And I'm like, well, I don't really agree with any of them that much. But then attending a Lutheran church, and I'm like, well, yes, we have, these are the things we believe. This is what, if you're going to call yourself Lutheran, you have to agree to certain whatever. If you're going to be Lutheran minister, obviously, certain set of beliefs, all that kind of stuff. But like, the emphasis is on the sacrament. So I feel a lot more comfortable saying, yeah, I don't agree with all this. But that's not the most important part of the service. That's not why I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here to take Eucharist. You know,
yeah,
so I don't
know.
Something about it being more about the sacraments made it easier for me to start going by that. But I do want to say, for those listening, when you start, you know, your own church after Brandon, don't call it the Brandonins or like the first night church of whatever. No, call yourself the Knights of Knee. That is what Brandon would want.
That is what do that. You'll strike pain into the heart of everybody like religion should.
Whole new creed. It's just saying knee.
what is it that they say, Lord be with you, and instead of saying and also with you, you just say knee in response. So there's
indeed.
I wanted to ask you this, and I'm not trying to like probe something that's not there. So if the answer is no, that's fine. I was curious. So you do come from a more, you know, you're Lutheran now, but you did come from a more Pentecostal background, Pentecostal or charismatic? You tell me.
I don't know that there's really a difference as much as people want there to be. But yeah, it was a Pentecostal church. Although the church I spent most of my childhood in, the other Pentecostal churches made fun of it, calling it Bapticostal. If that tells you
anything. I've heard of that.
Yeah,
I've heard of Bapticostal before. Yeah,
it's a Pentecostal church where the pastor went to a Baptist college, so he teaches a lot of Baptist theology, but you speak in tongues still.
So yeah. I was curious. I was raised Baptist, and now I'm a thing, whatever gonzo is.
yeah.
My understanding when it comes to Pentecostal and particularly charismatic is that they are the, as my therapist put it, the genre of Christianity that comes off more spiritual. And I'm putting that in air quotes. I forgot you don't have your camera's not working. I'm putting that in air quotes because it is a lot of talk about spiritual warfare, the gifts of the spirit. It's, you went to a Bapticostal church, so that's helpful to know. But being in that kind of world where it is usually more so emphasized of spirit than intellectual, did that play a role at all in where you eventually ended up, or is that irrelevant since you did come from more of a Bapticostal environment?
In a weird way, I think it kept me from ever becoming Reform theology or like Baptist, because like
that makes sense.
I'm gonna out myself as a crazy person. You know, I have and still do occasionally speak in tongues. I've seen, you know, people have demons cast out. I do use air quotes, but like I think some of it was real. I think some of it was probably fake, and it's just hard to tell the difference. You know, I've seen broken bones just set and put back in place at the altar. So like I've seen a lot of weird spiritual stuff that I'm like, I had someone prophesy over me something really specific that actually happened within the year, and I was like, okay. So for me, it doesn't feel anti-intellectual to say I'm not gonna deny any of that, because like I experienced it, so it feels weird to be like, yeah, that didn't happen.
Sure. Yeah.
But at the same time, I saw kind of behind the scenes enough that I know that it's not always real, and sometimes it's played up.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, so it was weird going to like, I went to a Baptist college for Bible school, and like they would say stuff and like make fun of certain things. I'm like, yeah, no, I've actually seen that thing you talk about. Like, well, you know, no one just suddenly stopped drinking. I'm like, well, no, I actually saw a guy who was diabetic, alcoholic, his dad was alcoholic, and prayed, spoke in tongues, and literally never touched a liquor bottle again the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to chalk that up as something that's not real.
Sure. Yeah. You know?
So I'm like, guys, I think. And that's where, like, even for me, so I had a bad car accident in 2016, and that was around the time that I started emphasizing more the intellectual, because I was like, okay, well, maybe we need to focus more on this stuff than what I was taught growing up. So I was really leaning into it, and then I had my car accident, and I remember, weirdly enough, I accepted that I was never going to be able to run again, all this kind of stuff, and I'm on a mountain nearby here that has like a hiking trail, and I'm reading Forgotten God by Francis Chan. And he's like, how are we going to say, like, seriously, we're going to have serious face and say, we believe that the God of the entire universe created everything, lives inside me, and then say some stuff isn't possible. And it's like, what are we doing here?
Okay. Yeah.
And I remember reading that, and I'm, again, out of myself as a crazy person, praying and running up and down that mountain. I normally cannot do that even still now.
You were running up. You made a deal with God, and you went running up that hill. Sorry,
I mean, not quite. But it is seemingly, I think, less intellectually honest to say I'm going to believe this thing about the God of the universe living in me and not believe that I can be healed than it is to say I believe it's possible and I don't understand why sometimes God chooses to heal and sometimes he doesn't. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think part of that kept me from ever like fully going to any one place until
okay
actually I don't know if I've ever told Will this. Will might hear it on here. We'll see. There was a time that I had the sacraments at Will's church. We were doing Eucharist. Okay. And I felt the Spirit move, like that same thing that I got at like Pentecostal church camp. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't have to deny that stuff to be a part of this. And yeah, but I think that is probably why I never went to like the full Reformed theology, super Theobro kind of style, because I was always like,
good.
I've seen some stuff, guys. I've experienced some stuff, and it's hard to, you know, drop that Pentecostal side of me. Like, I still have a little bit of that Pentecostal dog at me probably for the rest of my life.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I like how we got to the Pentecostal part, and that's when you got worried that you were going to sound like a crazy person.
Yeah,
like,
not the Taoist stuff.
Not the Taoist stuff. The Pentecostal stuff.
Yeah.
I like to at least pretend in my mind. In my mind, I like to think that the listeners of Kung Fu Pizza Party are generally open-minded enough to hear someone out. Like, I don't know all of them personally. You know, some of the people I engage with on social media, I don't know if they necessarily come from a Christian background or not, but, and truth be told, they're usually the more generous towards differing views than Christians are. So, like,
yeah.
Anyway, so I was just curious. I was thinking about that. So what was like, if the Pentecostal played like a factor, but if anything, it helped in the preventing of even more intellectualism within your faith.
Yeah, which again, not anti-intellectual, but I think it did keep you from ever going to the point of, yeah, we're only going to rely on this part. Yeah.
I guess the part, maybe to help everyone understand, because I did come from a Reformed background, of the big thing when we talk about like the anti-intellectual versus intellectual, it's not that Reformed bros are the smartest people in the room.
They're not. They are not the most well-read.
Don't tell them that. They don't know.
They all read the same books. But what we mean is that there is a realm within Christianity where everything is black or white, not race-wise. Well, probably race-wise for them too, but everything is black or white. It's either sin or not. Basically, is what it comes down to. It's not, is it holy or is it of Jesus? It's sin or not. Whereas Josh, and I would put myself here as well, it's far more nuanced and far more gray. We'll go back to our Star Wars analogies. We're gray Jedis. Josh probably even more than I am, because all of this is on a spectrum as it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm more neutral. How's that work?
Or were you just born with a heart full of neutrality? Do you know where that one's from?
Not quite. Where's that?
Futurama. There's a neutral planet. Not that they don't get involved with wars, but everything about them is neutral. That is their response to everything. Everything is gray, and Zap Brannigan can't stand
that. That's
them.
Wonderful. It's wonderful. I forgot about that.
What Scrub, makes a though, man go neutral? Lust for gold? Power? Or were you just born with a heart full of neutrality? Go on.
So there's an episode of Scrubs. I don't remember the context, but the JD literally says, they ask him like what size. He's like, you look like a medium. He goes, extra medium. That's to me just the funniest line. I don't know what it is.
I had my mic on mute, but I laughed so hard at that. I've not extra seen medium. That one. Extra medium. Oh, that's a good one.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Whether I've been drinking or not, that is a funny joke.
It's such a good show, man.
Are you excited for the revival?
I love it.
Is it good? I haven't seen it yet.
The people who complain, I understand their complaints. And I think what it is, I think Taoism has helped me here. I am not too attached to any of their stories to be like, I could still appreciate where they're going and have a good time. I get why you're upset the story didn't go where you wanted it to, but that's why you don't attach yourself to stories that have never been written in your head canon of what happened next.
That's not even Taoism. That's just good media literacy, man. Like, your fan fiction doesn't count. Yeah.
Well, I think like the problem is like certain things, like we all just have like a shared headcanon of like,
sure,
you know, how things ended or like what happened next. Like,
sure,
we all just assume everybody at the end of Friends, whoever they ended up married to, they're just always going to be married. You know, like you assume certain things, and it's like, well,
yeah.
When you think about it for a minute, I think Friends would be a prime example, which is why they won't do this. Think about how many times these people broke up and got with somebody else. Do you really think they stayed married for the rest of forever?
Right. That's true. Probably not. Probably not.
It's fine.
So, Josh, I'm curious, you know, you've found yourself in a more Lutheran community. I want to talk about Community for a second. Not the series, though. That is also a very funny show. Love Joel McHale.
Wonderful. Especially the first three seasons.
Oh, especially. Once it stops being about them going to college and it's just like just shenanigans every week, it kind of loses it a little bit for me. But
yeah, unfortunately, I know the actor is awful, but once Pierce Hawthorne leaves, it's kind of like,
oh, Chevy Chase.
Yeah, I'm like, I know he's an awful human, but it was really hard to keep that show feeling the same without him. You know, it's like, it just wasn't right.
Also, at some point, I love Abed. He's hilarious, great character, great actor.
Oh, yeah.
But at some point, the show stops being about Joel McHale's character and focuses solely on him. And like Joel McHale is like a side character in his own show, which is just kind of weird
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Anyway,
community. So not Community, the show, but you know, you have found yourself in a Lutheran community. Have you found yourself like a Taoist group? I'm assuming they don't have a church, or I guess they may have a temple or monastery, probably, kind of thing. I do know that there are other Christian Taoists out there. Have you found your way to like a community somewhere, or is this your outlet?
This is mostly my outlet. Now and then I'll see something. Weirdly enough, on other Kingdom Hearts fan boards, you'll see somebody say something Taoist, and I'm like, oh, cool. What did you think about this? But then largely it's like just reading books and kind of saying that. It's funny because I can't remember the full name of Confucius' first name, but Confucius, one of his biggest complaints about Lao Tzu's teachings, where they were so focused on the individual that they weren't helpful for like a larger community. It was kind of his complaint, which I don't know that I fully agree with, but it is something that's very easy to just like, hey, this is how I'm going to better myself and think about my mentality and spirituality and such. And it helps me orient towards others better, but it is one of those like, you know, a lot of your Taoist teachings, philosophies, whatever, aren't really about like, okay, now get together and teach truth one to one, and you know, one to one another, or whatever. Like, you know, Christian scripture tends to be about. It tends to be more of like, when you orient yourself this way towards others, this is the way. And you're like, oh, yeah, I like that. I don't know.
That's interesting because that does maybe sound... my answer. No, it's fine. That does sound more Western. The whole like emphasis on the individual. Obviously, there's still, I guess you could say from a Christian standpoint, a practical application of that. You are becoming authentic to yourself so that way you can better relate to other people around you. But the emphasis on the individual versus the collective does seem to be a bit different than what I would anticipate. That being said, if this is your community outlet, along with your own show, Be Living Water, I would like to continue to have you on here to do more Taoist talks in the future, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, dude, I would love to. I enjoy talking about the stuff, thinking about it deeper. And it's one of those things too, like if Taoist teachings and stuff weren't so flexible, I probably would never feel comfortable enough to call myself that, even, because I'm like, I'm not going to a Taoist teacher or anything like that. You know, I'm not like worshiping the Tao, you know, but
right.
It's, you know, so much flexibility in it, and it's more of like learning a way of orientation.
Nice.
And to the chagrin of probably a lot of people. It's just one of those, like, calling yourself just Christian to me right now, I'm really uncomfortable with that in America, because it seems to come with a lot of connotations of stuff that I don't want people to think I support, as I don't.
We so, are not even evangelicals. Disclaimer.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I just added a disclaimer, because I'm like, this is something that's true to me, something that's important to me, part of how I believe what I think about, and also, you know, C.S. Lewis would be upset at me for not just being a mere Christian, but I'm like, I just, this is a part of who I am, and also, I don't want people to think that I'm those guys, which I run a Christian Unity podcast, and probably shouldn't think like that, but I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, maybe not.
Most people call themselves Christians, I would not consider Christian, because, again, when I say, like, worshiping Jesus, following him, I mean following him and his teachings, not saying his name a lot and then acting nothing like him, you know?
Say his name and he appears. That's one for the wrestling fans. Sorry, Josh, I don't know if you know that one.
No, but it still was funny. Any song inserted makes me laugh almost.
I'll send you a reel so you can see it's a wrestler. His name is Joe Hendry. And now he will appear. I wish. It'd be great if Joe Hendry was on this show.
That would be a wild turn.
That would be a wild turn if Joe Hendry just appeared next to me and started talking. Josh, is there anything else you would like to leave us with before we begin to wrap up this happy hour?
I talked about the importance of why I wanted to add labels and change myself and, like, why I'm comfortable being Lutheran and all that. So I just want to say, I do still think labels are dumb.
Hooray!
If you just want to, like, believe what you believe and not call yourself Christian or Taoist or Lutheran or Methodist or any of that stuff, I think that's wise. I think sometimes adding labels makes you feel constrained that you have to believe things or go along with things that maybe you don't. So, hey, if you can avoid the labels and comfortably, yeah, that's probably good too. And I think Lao Tzu and Martin Luther would both pat you on the back for it.
Agreed. As much as I wish I could find that community, but I still haven't found.
Dude, that episode of My Seminary Life was so good.
Dude, it is so far. I'll spoil something for MSL listeners here. It's my most downloaded episode of the year so far.
Oh, nice.
Over on that show. Over, you know, here, spoiler for the Kung Fu Pizza Party fans, was the last time Josh was here. That is so far the most downloaded episode. Is, yeah, our nice. Talk of the Tao Jeet Kune Do, which is another reason why that's I want to awesome. Keep doing this, because, you know, you just work the algorithm. That's how this job works.
Yeah, yeah. Like, cross post this on that one? Be Living Water too. But the,
of course,
the most downloaded episode of Whole Church, I think, was actually when Theology on the Rocks people did a crossover with us.
Nice.
Sorry, I tried to hit the mute first.
Dow bless you.
But the most downloaded episode of Suspect Ecology, I'm so excited about this. I try and, like, I don't look at the numbers usually, but I looked because the only reason I looked, because I did an episode that I thought no one was going to care about, and I'm like, I hope I didn't destroy our show for a week because I wanted to talk about Kingdom Hearts. But now the most downloaded episode we did this year was me and Christian talking about a really specific character from Kingdom Hearts. I'm like, man.
Oh, interesting.
Here I was concerned that was going to be the one that no one listened to, and now people are going to ignore us for a week, and it's all my fault. And the exact opposite happened, which is awesome.
Nice. It's always so weird when it's
you
like,
are, guys.
It's always weird when it's like, you do pull up those numbers, and you're like, really? That was the one you people wanted to listen to? I shouldn't be referring to our listeners that
you
way,
people.
But like, that's the one? Really? Because another really popular one this year, keep in mind, this is a martial art media podcast. But of course, the episode I did on Monty Python, the Holy Grail has done really well for itself. So.
That was a great episode. I was cracking up.
Hey, you're but all into editing. You're all into editing. Do you like I've been starting to use some more like sound effects. I found a website to get sound effects. Do you like,
it's great.
Like the sound effects? Okay,
it's been fun. I enjoy it.
I've been
meaning
to ask.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun with it. Anyway.
Good. Well, maybe
listeners should let us know after they tell us Jesus,
yes.
You know, go-to kung fu move.
Yeah. Either style or move. We'll take weapon as well.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Is Jesus using nunchucks? Like, these are the questions. These are the questions that the Nicene Creed was too afraid to answer. We're just dumb enough to do it.
But the Knights of Knee.
The Brandon Knights of
followers
Knee
are here to answer real issues.
By the way, this is what we call a Midwest goodbye because I'm trying to end this and it just won't end. You're welcome, everybody. No, it's on me, man. Next time we have you on, maybe we'll get very Taoist traditional and we'll cover Tao Te Ching. We'll get right to the not Bible source of the faith. I've got a couple others. I do have the Tao of Pooh. I have yet to get the Te of Piglet, but I'm planning on getting the other that one. And then but I also have, good. I forget who the author's name is, but it's called The Tao of Christ by Duncan something, McSomething, Duncan McSomething. So I've got some other ways to have you back on and talk, and hey, maybe I'll figure out, you know, I'll go get a PS2 and start playing Kingdom Hearts or something.
Do it, man. Leah, I'll say. So you'll learn this when you're reading Tao of Pooh, but I think it'd be fun to talk about Henry David Thoreau.
Oh, okay.
Am I saying that right? Yeah, because that's like a lot of, not just Benjamin Hoffman, but there's a few other books I read that mention him as like the unofficial best Taoist. Because he was never called a Tao, like he never called himself a Taoist, but like Taoists are like, that dude was a Taoist.
That's a Taoist. That over there. Because that's what Taoism is. You don't define it, but you know it when you see it. So we'll take it.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, Josh, thanks for taking your time to be here today and to introduce us more to this world. Looking forward to having you back on to do more Christianity and Taoism talks in the future. You can check out Josh's show, Be Living Water. You're doing two very interesting things over there when you have new episodes. Daniel and Les Mis, right?
Yeah. It's been fun.
Cool. That's fun. I want in when Nebuchadnezzar becomes a cow.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's originally it's just because I think they're both really good at speaking into the moment that we Americans find ourselves in with the type of leader who's very similar to Nebuchadnezzar, or I can't remember which king of France that was at the moment because my brain is blanking, but both of them remind me of Trump quite a bit. And I think they both say some interesting things of how maybe we should behave in times with leaders as these. Yeah.
Okay. Love that. And you can find a link for Be Living Water in the description of this episode, along with the other links that you hear me talk about every time. Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party, Letterboxd Kung Fu Pizza PRTY, where you can get a review of the movie before the episode comes out. And my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. Anna Zhao has a YouTube channel too, right?
Yeah. As well as Systemic Ecology has its own YouTube channel because it just does too much to, it would just completely take over anything.
That's how I felt when I rebranded my YouTube channel. It used to just be My Seminary Life, but I was like, you know what? I have another show now and I have other things I want to do.
Yeah.
I'll just have my own thingy.
Perfect. Yeah.
But thanks again, Josh, for being here. Thank you, listeners, for hanging out with us for, these always end up being like an hour and a half long. It's like three normal episodes. It takes three normal episodes to do like one of these, and I love that.
One drunken happy hour is equivalent to one and a half normal hours.
Just that math makes sense. We should maybe put that on a t-shirt. By the way, Anna Zhao does have a merch store. There is a link for it on the Kung Fu Pizza Party Instagram page if you want to check it out. There's Kung Fu Pizza Party merch. I think all the shows have something. Maybe not the newer shows yet, but
Most of them. I think, because Whole Church and Systemic Theology have their own sites, but they're linked to on that site. So.
Nice. Thanks again for listening. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where we have delivered high-flying action in three times the amount of time I normally would do, and served up a whole heap of wisdom, one slice at a time.